John chapter 6, verse 44. We're going to, if you want to, you don't have to. We're going to go to Mark chapter 3, verse 28 and 29 as well. But we're going to eventually end up in John chapter 6, and the main verse is 44. I don't really preach from notes, but I scratched something on that piece of paper. The title of this message this morning is called Old Fashioned Holy Ghost Conviction. Old Fashioned Holy Ghost Conviction. I don't know if anybody ever preaches about that anymore. I don't know. I'm not going to make that big statement. I think that's an absolute statement, which it shouldn't be made. I will say this, that we don't talk about it enough. We don't talk about Holy Ghost conviction. Old time. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost conviction. This week I had a great opportunity to go and preach to some men, and I seen one man out of 28 men under great Holy Spirit conviction, to the point where his body was shaking and tears were running down his face. He's sitting in a group of men that were, some were engaged and some were listening and some were paying attention and some were not paying attention. But one man was under Holy Ghost conviction. And if the word Holy Ghost bothers you, I'm not going to apologize for that. I hope it doesn't bother you. If it does bother you, you should just slide around these shoes and start talking to God, because you need to. I want to talk to you about this because it's important. Because that man at the end of the service didn't do anything with that Holy Ghost conviction. Then on Friday, I got the opportunity to preach a young man's funeral. And I seen two people under a great Holy Ghost conviction. And I waited. I can't do anything about that. That's a God thing. But you want to be there just in case they want to cry out to God. And I'm afraid that we come to church too many times and everybody's not under Holy Ghost conviction, but some are, and you withstand it. You hold on. Hold on to the pew. Hold on to your pride. Hold on to the people next to you, to the left and right in front of you. Hold on to some thing you've made and said, well, I got saved, or I've dealt with that. But then God, every time you come to the house, God just deals with you to the place where He wants you to do something. And I want to tell you this, that's the Holy Spirit of God. Can I just be blunt with you? God is the only one that convicts you of your sin. If God's convicting you of your sin, that's not the devil, that's God. What the devil does with your sin is says, it's all right. You can wait it out. You don't have to go and do anything with it. You know what that does? That desensitizes you. Can we get in the Word of God? Mark 3:28 says, verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wheresoever they shall blaspheme. Verse 3:29, I hear pages turn. I'm going to wait till you get there because I want you to see it. If you want to be there, you don't have to be. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Now, I've been in church most of my life, in and out. I started when I was about 8. God took me when I was a little kid. My mom or dad weren't big churchgoers, but I would visit about every church I could walk to. And in the South, that's about every quarter mile to a mile. Amen? I went to Methodist churches, Church of God's, Baptist, just about anybody that had Kool-Aid and cookies and Sunday school and women that paint your face and tell you you're cute. And preachers that preach fire. Man, I'm talking just straight fire. And I'd get under conviction, get under the Spirit of God. And I heard this taught so many different ways. You can't blaspheme. That means you can't take God's name in vain. That's not what this means. It ain't. You shouldn't do that. you are in danger when you use God's name in vain or use God's name incorrectly. That's not what this means. What blasphemy the Holy Spirit is, and I want you to get this, nobody that goes to our church is going to be ignorant of what this is. It's when God is preaching through a man or giving testimony through a person or through a song that glorifies and lifts up Jesus Christ that you fall under a conviction so heavy that you want to repent from your sins. You want to talk to God and God only. Amen? And blasphemy the Holy Spirit is you saying, God, I'm not going to. Not today. Not now. When you do that, you cross God's holy deadlines. There are some lines that you can cross. And God says, when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you're not being witnessed to by a human being. God's coming to you. When you step across that line, I love how it reads. It reads, it says you're in danger. It says you're in danger of eternal separation. What it means is you're not done away with, but you're close. Can I do it like the old preachers would do it? God doesn't have to deal with you anymore. He don't. He might. He's gracious and He's merciful and He might. But if He's dealt with you one time, He don't have to again. And you're in a dangerous place. And I don't care if you're 6 or 60 or somewhere in between or a little bit past both. Amen? Let's get into scriptures that God's given me today. John chapter 6 and verse 41. I'll give you a moment to get there. I'm in no hurry today. And I'm not. You notice that I'm not preaching with a fervency, with a fire, and just running all the place. That might happen. It's bound to happen. But I want you to get this morning. It's a simple concept. It's so simple and easy. Some of y'all are sitting here this morning. Man, can you get deeper? Can you get into a deeper theology to help me in my personal life? Well, then I noticed who's teaching this. It's Jesus. If you need deeper than Jesus, you ain't going to get it from me. Amen? I want you to hear this, what He did in verse 41. Then the Jews murmured at Him. Verse 41. The Jews then murmured at Him because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus made some big claims, and if you go back and read the whole chapter of John chapter 6, He didn't just make some claims. He done some amazing stuff. He fed 5,000 people, not counting women and children. He healed some people. Amen? He taught some things. He walked on water. He did some amazing things. He came, and then all of a sudden, He sat down and he made a truth claim. I am the bread of life. What He's saying is, if you eat me, if you take me, if you ingest me, if you let me in, you will never hunger again in your spiritual life. You'll never hunger for anything that you need spiritually again. Your starvation for spiritual things will dry up in me. Woo! Have you ever been real hungry and ate and ate and ate? Until the point you forgot that you were hungry. Whew, God, I have too many times. Jesus said, if you take me, you will feel full. You will say, man, I need a lot of things, but one thing I don't need is that spiritual need met. It is, hey, I have seen the world begging for bread, but the children of God, they don't got to beg. Woo! I love that. He made that claim because I'm the bread of life. He said, if anybody believe in me, they'll have eternal life. Making big claims, ain't he? And then he said this, in the last days I'll lift them up. Man, that should set every Christian in here just about on fire. Because you know what? You got a promise that in the last days, no matter what's going on, He's going to call you home. Man, I'm telling you right now, I got that in my, I keep that in my, in the quick draw, amen? And what I mean is, when the devil really starts wearing me out, when he really starts telling me stuff like, you're not going to make it, or you're going under, or you're not good enough, or whatever it is, you're going to die, or nobody likes you, no, you're not important, oh man, God could use anybody but you, you know what I do? I pull that out. But in the last day, I got that going for me. Because in the last day, I'm going up, and devil, you're going down. It's already finished. I'm going to heaven and you're going to hell. So guess what? I think I'll just listen to God instead of listening to you. I love that. But Jesus is cooler than the other side of the pillow. Ain't that one of the best feelings in the world? Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. But you'll be sleeping and your pillow's all hot and everything. And you're like, goodness gracious. And you flip it over and you're like, woo! That's how cool Jesus is. Actually, he's a little cooler than that. Jesus therefore answered and said, murmur not among yourselves. He said, don't. Golly, couldn't we learn something from Jesus? He said, don't worry about it. These people that believe and don't believe. They some argue. They got plenty of questions. Amen? Because I'm not dealing with them. Some of you are sitting by somebody this morning. They got plenty of questions about God, and they've got answers that they don't know real answers to, and you're looking at them. But guess what? God ain't dealing with them all the time. If they're saying, well, if you're God, if God is this, if God is that, guess what? The anthem over hell is going to be if. If you keep saying if God is God, then guess what? You're still lost. Because when you get saved, you say, God's God no matter what He's doing. Whether He takes you home or not, whether you live or die, whether you get the cancer or you don't get the cancer, whether He removes the spot or don't remove the spot, whether He heals you or He doesn't heal you, if you're saved, you know what? You don't say, if He's God, He'll do this. You say, He's God despite of what I'm doing and what's going on in my life. You know what? I get excited when I preach that, but in the back of my mind and my heart go, Kevin, one day you're going to have to live that sermon. You ever preach something or said something to somebody spiritual? And then right in the very back of your mind, realize, hey, I'm going to have to walk that out one day myself. And then when you're walking it out, you have to remind yourself, you told somebody one day, God's good enough to see you through it. Bob sung that song, that's my favorite song. Amen? It is well with my soul because it's the only song I've ever heard my daddy ever sing. Amen? He was a preacher, but he wasn't a singer. But I heard him open a hymn one time and say, it is well with my soul. He's walking that out today. Amen? No matter what, no matter what the sea bells, no matter what happens, no matter if I go under, it is well with my soul. God, you can do whatever you want to do. Whether I live or die, whether my family lives or dies, it is well with my soul. And guess what? One day, you're going to have to say, it is well with my soul. Because God's going to take His hand off some people. And He's going to let them pass. And you ain't going to have the answers. You better crawl on the floor somewhere, or crawl in a closet and shut the door and say, God, it is well with my soul, and that's enough. Y'all ready to get in the meat of the word? Verse 44, this is the whole reason I came to preach to you this morning. I hope you hear this. I'll read the verse and I'll go back and break it down. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. No man can come to God. No woman can come to God. No child can come to God unless he be drawn. None of them can come to Jesus unless they're drawn by God. No man, no woman, no child can come to Jesus unless they're drawn by God. Why is that important, preacher? Well, it's important because you don't get to set the time. You don't get to set the date. You don't get to say, well, right before I get sick and die, I'm going to come to Jesus and make it all right. Well, I hate to tell you this, I really do, but I'm a preacher, and you know what? I have come to find out most of the people who die today, they don't even know where they're at. They can't respond. They can't do anything with God because usually they're drugged out of their mind or they're out of their mind. I hate to tell you that. I know it's not cool for me to tell you that. So guess what? You should come when you're of a right mind and a right heart, but especially when God's drawing you. Because you're lying to yourself if you say, have you got time? I got plenty of time. I'm 14. I'm plenty of time. I'm 13. I've got plenty of time. I'm just 20-something. What you don't know is God never promised you a certain age or a time. The only time He's ever promised you is He said you have an appointed time. And then you will stand before God and give an account for your life. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. That's what it says. Hebrews 9:27. No man can come to Jesus except he be drawn to the Father. What does that look like when He draws you? You can't help but cry. You can't help but weep. You can't help but be broken over your sin. You know what kind of sin? All of it. I'm not talking about, some of you right now are going, I know them drug addicts. I know them alcoholics. Those people that are committing real bad sexual sin. No, you know who it is? It's the child who said, I've been disobedient to my parents. Man, I can't believe I lied to my parents and said my room was clean. I heard a story one time. There's a revival breakout, and there's a little kid coming. He's about 8 years old, tears running down. He got on the altar, and he's weeping for God. He goes, oh, God, I'm a wretched sinner. I need forgiveness of my sins. And the preacher said, son, what have you been doing? He said, I have been disrespecting my mother and my father. I have disrespected them. I have lied to them. I have told them that I'm doing stuff that I'm not doing. And they said, oh, God, son, that's not so bad. He said, yes, it's bad because God has revealed that my sin is wicked before Him. Guys, listen, when God brings Holy Ghost conviction upon your heart, every sin that you've ever committed, ever thought about, you'll want to repent before God because it's wicked before Him. And guess what? If He can root out the small sins, He can root out the big sins. I heard this week and I loved it. It was one of the greatest analogies I've ever heard. Somebody said, you know what, as Christians, sometimes we think when we've rocked on 5, 10, and 20, and 30 years, we think we're pretty big people. And we think, man, you know what, I can handle getting close to sin again. It won't bother me. It doesn't have its effect on me like it used to when I was a young Christian. I can boldly stand right next to sin. You know what he compared it to? He said it was like gunpowder standing next to a flame, hoping that the spark don't land. That's about where our strength is against sin, people, I'm telling you. But when Holy Ghost conviction comes, you will feel broken about your sin. You will feel like God is looking at everything in your life, and all you want to do is tell Him, oh my God, I'm sorry. I heard a story about a man who had life sentence, and he was up at Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary. Before he went in prison, he had a man who'd come to him all the time and say, I love you, I'm praying for you, and I hope you would receive Christ. And so he said, sometimes I would be high, sometimes I was getting high, and sometimes I was committing crimes. And every time that guy come to me, he would say, I'm praying for you, God loves you, and I hope that you accept Him one day. He said, he never told me that I was worthless. He never told me that I wasn't worth nothing. He kept telling me that he loved me and he prayed for me and hoped I'd receive Christ. He said, I was in Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary in 1988 serving a life sentence for murder and robbery. And he said, there was a man preached a message, and I fell under great Holy Ghost conviction. And he said, I didn't go to the altar. I went to my cell, and I rolled back and forth all through the night. I could not sleep because I was under Holy Ghost conviction that my sins were before God. And he said, the next day, guess what? The man who had been praying for me my whole life showed up at the prison. And he said, I've been praying for you. I couldn't sleep last night. And the man said, I couldn't sleep either. What are you going to do with Jesus? And just the other day, he was standing outside the gates, outside the walls of that same prison, talking about the testimony. Because God not only got him out of his sin, he got him out of the prison. And he was standing there glorifying God from where he was and to where he was. He said, I never made one appeal. I never asked anybody to get me out of prison. I never asked anybody to set me free. But God seemed fit to set me free of my sin and my physical charges. Some of y'all are sitting here right now going, "Preacher, why are you preaching this?" Because some of y'all fall under great Holy Ghost conviction in this church, and you don't know what it looks like when God would save you. How can I live? You ain't even lived yet until you've repented. God will do more in your life than you could ever imagine Him doing. He will take you places. He will take care of you. He will feed you and He will nourish you. He will do more in your life than you can ever imagine. He's trying to break you to make you. He's trying to get you to see your sin and where it's going to separate you from it for eternity, to get you to a place where if you repent, He can start molding you and making you into a child. I'm going to preach another message tonight. What happens when you get a daddy? Show up if you dare. Except the Father which hath sent Him, draw him. And I will raise him up the last days. Guess what? Everybody in this room, you need to understand this. When you come to this church and you come and worship, that's an amazing thing. But if you find yourself sitting here wondering whether you're going to heaven or not, And God brings you under conviction, the Holy Spirit of God gets on you, you say, "Man, what's God trying to do?" What He's trying to do is He's trying to raise you up the last day. What He's trying to do is save you where He can save you for eternity. God's not looking at your temporal life. He's looking at your eternal life. And one day, I hate to tell you this, but one day, every person in this room, if we stay long enough, is going to be put in a casket. And guess what? People are going to stand and they're going to say words about you. And it won't affect one way or the other whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. What's going to matter in that is what you do when you fall under great Holy Ghost conviction. The Bible says it this way: one plants. That means people in your life have come and testified to you and told you how they've got saved. One waters. That's another person coming to you and sharing with you the gospel. But then God gives the increase. That's the Holy Spirit of God setting down in your life and saying, "What have you done with me?" And you can't explain it. Man, I wished I could explain it the day that I got saved. The day I got saved, August 28 of 04. I'd told people I'd been saved. When I was 13, I went up to an old altar and prayed, and they got it on recording. 1986, they got it on recording. They'd sit down and they'd play it. They'd say, "Right here's where you got saved. You hear it? You hear it?" And I'd be like, "Yeah, yeah." What I really knew was, from that day forward, nothing in my sin life ever changed. Nothing. I knew about God, but I didn't do anything with Him. But people all the way through my life, one would come in and witness about God. Another person would come in and share the gospel. Another person would share the gospel. Another person would witness. And then August 28 of 04, guess who showed up? Great Holy Ghost conviction. I was walking through a single wide trailer, and God said, "You know what, Kevin? You know about me, but you don't know me. If you died today, you'd go to hell for eternity. You need to do something about that." That didn't really scare me that much. Believe me, it shook me. But when I started to wash my hands, God said, "You got more blood on your hands than you can imagine." And He said, "Your wife don't know about me. Your son don't know about me. Your daughter don't know about me. You're leading them to hell, Kevin." And then He said something I'll never forget for my whole life. I took two steps into a little bedroom. I looked at my family. They were okay. I looked right at them. I took two steps back into my bedroom, and God spoke directly to my heart. He said, "I gave them to you. I can take them away." That was the end of Kevin Shelton, the old man. He looks a lot the same. He likes some of the same stuff, this, that, and other. But that old man died right there. And a new man was born again. Because I fell on the floor under great Holy Ghost conviction of my sin. And I repented of everything I'd done. Everything that I was wanting to do. And I was kind of trying to disqualify myself. I told God all the things that I'd done that everybody knew about. And then I told Him about the stuff that nobody knew about. And then I told him about some of the stuff that I was thinking about doing. And I said, surely this is going to get me disqualified. You know what happened after I turned all that stuff out to God? I stood up a new creature in Christ Jesus. My life has never been the same because I fell under great Holy Ghost conviction and repented of my sins. If you ever find yourself under great Holy Ghost conviction and your sins are right there before you, I'd ask you to do one thing and one thing only. Repent. Repent of those sins and ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. I don't care what you've told everybody else, and I don't care what everybody's told you. If you find yourself in that situation, repent. What if it's a business meeting? Repent. What if all your friends are hanging out? What if you're on a ride? What if you're on the back country and you're on a ride? Repent. What if you're at a football game? Repent. What if you're at school? Repent. If God brings you into conviction, what if you're at home with your family and they think everything's all right? Repent. Why? Because it matters whether you spend eternity or not. Let me ask you a question. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do? I think the Bible reads like this. What would it profit a man if he had gained the whole world, yet lose his soul? Some of you are going like this. Don't worry about that, brother. I ain't gained the whole world. Don't worry about me. I ain't got much. Well, guess what? You're trading just a little bit for Jesus. Some people, you can see, they got a lot of stuff. You can almost understand why they don't choose Jesus. But some of us in the place we don't have much, you know what? He still makes himself ready. Some people are going to hold on to a little and lose Jesus. Some people are going to hold on to a lot and lose it. Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation. If God's dealt with your heart, listen, we're going to do Shoes for Orphan Souls, but if God, we're dealing with a bigger issue right now, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been saved? Have you ever committed your whole life to Jesus Christ? Have you ever asked Him to be the Lord of your life? Let me ask you this. Have you ever been under great conviction and said no to God? If you have, and He's not convicting you right now, maybe your prayer should be, God, bring back Holy Ghost conviction upon my heart again. Please bring it back. Even though it hurts and it's painful and it makes me worried about my eternal salvation and my eternal destination, God, it hurts me. But God, bring it back one more time where I can commit my life to You. Draw me. Draw me to Jesus one more time. That's what my prayer is going to be this morning, that God would draw some people again. You, Bob, would you sing?